Welcome to WorkforceRemote.org, the podcast. I'm Dr. Thomas Wilson, and we call this series, How Do You Remote? Today, my guest brings an HR perspective regarding remote work. Larry Covet is the Senior Vice President of Talent at Stark Carpets. Larry, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Larry, you've got a unique situation with your company. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Stark Carpets?
Sure. So Stark was established back in 1938 by Arthur Stark and his wife, Nadia, in New York, started way back then in the business of basically luxury carpets and rugs. We have been in business therefore for about 85 years or so, and we have always really prided ourselves on our products for sure, our people and our teams, and the way we just go about business, particularly in the way we service designers. We primarily do a lot of our business is through designers who have clients. So we don't generally, but we are open to working with the homeowners themselves. And so therefore, we're working with a relatively luxury level of product and a luxury level of clientele.
And you're not just in the U.S. Tell me a little bit about your international presence and specifically how that relates to remote work. Have you run into any challenges with remote presence in other countries?
Sure. So we're international in a few different ways. Here in the States, we operate between 20 and 25 showrooms, probably in about 19 or 20 states. And then we also operate a showroom in London. And by showroom, I mean this is a physical location where our clients can come and visit, see product. Our showrooms in many cases have hundreds, if not thousands, of different samples. And they can literally physically come in and meet with their account manager and work and see product and choices and help work on the design of their home. And in London, over in the UK, we have the exact same sort of setup where there's a physical location that a client can come visit. In many cases, we are in walk-up places where we might be part of a shopping center, or we might also be as part of either design centers. For example, in Manhattan, we're part of the D&D building on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and that building is full. It's probably 15, maybe 18 floors of home design products from everything from the floor to ceiling. And the same thing really is the case in London. We also operate in many locations around the world where we have agents, where we have a person who owns our line, or I should say owns the selling of our line in those locations. But generally, we're operating them all remotely. And certainly remote has many definitions. In this case, particularly our leadership team, our central corporate structure is based in the US. Obviously, we have leadership in every showroom around the country and as well in London. And then each of our reps around the world have a chain of command, for lack of a better word, in the way that they operate. So it is really interesting, particularly, you know, when you talk about time zones. I spend part of my time in New York and part of my time in Southern California. And so just those 3 hours often are one of those remote things that we need to work on. My team primarily, if not exclusively, is actually on the East Coast. My boss, Chad Stark, who's our third generation owner, is based primarily out of the Los Angeles area. And then when you talk about London, that's 5 hours ahead of New York, 8 hours ahead of California. When you talk about our mills and the factories that we work with that produce the product, they are in parts of Asia that are 12, 13, sometimes more hours away. So remote work certainly has a lot of different definitions and balls to juggle in the air, I guess I would say.
Now, it's my understanding that with COVID, as with other companies, when COVID hit, remote was accelerated some. Was that true in your case with Stark Carpets? And if that was the case, what effect has that made transitioning or increasing the idea of remote work in your company?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tom. Thanks for asking that. So that certainly was the catalyst for a lot of what is present day, although even before, and by the way, that predates me. I'm with the organization about just going on almost 13 months now. So there were folks and there were roles that were remote. We have over time centralized some of our operations, and those operations, for example, order processing and things like that, the client signing on the dotted line, so to speak, and signing an agreement and really engaging us in product is only the first step in many between order and delivery. And so we had a lot of folks around the country who were working from home, et cetera. And this certainly put us a little bit further ahead and really was fortunate to really help us accelerate those kind of plans. Since the world has reopened, we have moved people back to the office, but we do currently, post roles that are both on-site, hybrid, and remote, and anything kind of in between. We had showrooms, of course, depending on the state and the local municipalities that were closed for short times or longer times, but generally, we were like the rest of the retailing world, open, within a few months of the initial shutdown in March of 2020. And we do have these showrooms and they do require folks to be on site. But we even now, frankly, we're in the midst of more discussions about what remote / hybrid could look like.
So along those lines of recruiting people and how it's different now than it was before, I'm wondering what effect that has had in your recruiting. Having flexible jobs, have you noticed that applicants are demanding that, or do they just appreciate it? Is it something that you think is part of the fabric of recruiting now that needs to be offered?
Yeah, so I think what we've learned is that setting expectations early, meaning in the job posting, is super, super critical. I think for starters, it saves time on both the candidate's end and my talent acquisition team's end to be upfront about that. And that way, if someone only wants to be one or the other, and we hear people who absolutely don't want remote or absolutely don't want on-site. And so we hear both of that and we really make sure that we're upfront. I like to say that we're pretty open-minded and that we would be open to some discussions, but generally we put a lot of thought into what the role will require. Some of that is what team do they work within, the role that we're advertising for. And so we put a lot of thought into that ahead of time. And so we really try and be as upfront as possible and really be very clear with candidates beforehand. But it is very interesting. I think what we've seen is there was a real large spike in, let's say, the nine to 18 months after the initial shutdown, that there was a big swing to, I only want to be remote, right? People got very used to that. They really enjoyed it, whether it was rolling out of bed and being in the office in, a minute or 2 minutes. And then we see now more folks looking forward to being around colleagues and being around people and wanting that personal connection. Some of our creative teams, product development, design, our art department, our marketing teams, which are mostly remote, we are looking towards setting up more in-person collaborative sessions, whether that's monthly, quarterly, or whatever, I think will be worked out between the teams. But we think that there is merit in as much as we can allowing the teams to be able to function the way that works best for them.
So along those lines of adapting to your employees, your policies probably have had to adapt as well. Talk about some of the policy changes or perhaps proposals at this point regarding remote and hybrid. There's a range of issues, right? Onboarding, accountability, company culture. Tell us a little bit about what your company has been considering regarding policies.
Sure. So we are a about 750 people when you talk about all of the different divisions and subsidiaries of the company. And, you know, the numbers won't be exact, but roughly a third of those folks work out of our warehouses, which are based down in Atlanta, a suburb of Atlanta, maybe about 90 minutes about outside of Atlanta. And then about another third are our teams that work directly in the showrooms. And then we've got this other third that's kind of in the middle. And so, yeah, so it does present these challenges in all facets of leadership, whether it's, you know, I mentioned before we went on that I was having a couple of technical problems that I find myself to be really tech savvy, but we certainly have a spectrum of people. So how do you get IT help to someone whose office or their home office is in, you know, the middle of nowhere where our folks are located? So we talk around things about onboarding for sure. There actually was just a announcement from the around the I-9 completion. I'm going to get a little technical, but when you first start a job and you need to show your documents that provide verification that you are eligible to work in the United States, whether it's your passport, your driver's license, social security card, et cetera. And so some of those rules were suspended post-COVID where you didn't need to see the physical document. We could take those documents electronically. And the rule now is going to go back into place in August where you are going to be required to see those physically. And frankly, while the when you read some of the articles about this from SHRM and you know the Society for Human Resource Management and others, you'll see that they expect that those rules might get pulled back and that there will be a recognition for more remote work. So just how do we even check documents and what's our policy going to be around that? How do we be compliant with a person who's working in the middle of Nebraska that we don't have anyone physically in that area? We also talk about, for us right now, we're in the midst of a conversation around our account managers, those folks who deal directly with clients. And we have account managers that are writing $3, $4, $5, even more $1 million a year of business. And there's a philosophy, or let me say at least a discussion around if someone is a top tier performer writing that kind of volume, do we care the way that they do it? Now, certainly in some ways, we have certain, you know, minimum expectations for how you treat clients, how you do business, you know, systems uses, et cetera. But if I do that 40 hours a week in the office or 20 hours a week at home and 20 in the office, or if we never see the person for 3 months and then being, you know, really extinct and they deliver that volume, you know, in a brand appropriate way, meaning the way that the company wants business done, do we have a problem with it? And so that's a debate, frankly, right now. There is that school of thought that if I can't see you, I don't know what you're doing. And I'll make a confession here that when I got involved in the conversations, I said, I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think it should be Friday. Fridays and Mondays maybe shouldn't be the work from home days if you're going to have 1-2 days a week. That sounds like it lends itself to long weekends. But then again, you know, when I put on my devil's advocate hat and I say, but if they get their work done Monday to Thursday, right, and they're delivering the volume that we expect, we set goals in many ways and lots of KPIs for our folks, does it matter the methods in which they do that as far as the space in which they're standing? And our business is, you know, like I talked about, really works very directly with designers, interior decorators, et cetera. And those folks don't really punch a clock either. You know, if it's a couple that they're working with and one part of the couple is in the office 40 hours a week and wants to see the samples, well, how do we do that in our business hours? And we really adapt to what the designer needs. So does it really matter? I'll tell you that I previously was with an organization and we were very much in the office. And I was there until 2019, so pre-COVID. And one of the owners said to me, Larry, does it really matter if this person is going to deliver the volume that we expect, their clients are going to be happy, and all the things that we want go into place, does it really matter if they're sitting at a desk so we can keep an eye on them? You know, I like to say that we only hire adults. And as adults, we all come with a sense of responsibility. And by accepting this job, you take on additional responsibilities. And one of those, when you're a salesperson, is delivering expected levels of revenue. And if they can meet those expectations, are these other things more just about making myself feel good, or is it really should be about more making the person feel good, assuming they're delivering what we want? So we're constantly talking about some of those things. You know, what about how do we complete some compliance trainings that we have to do from an HR standpoint? How do we build culture? When it's me, I sit in my counter, I have a kind of like an island in my kitchen, and generally my coworker is my three-year-old French bulldog. That's my coworker most of the days, right? So how do we ensure what goes on during the day? And for me, my team starts, you know, I might start at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning because that's my team schedule on the East Coast. And so I might get going for a few hours. And while they're at lunch, which is like 9 o'clock here, I might take the dog out for an hour or go to the gym or those things. And so if I'm getting my work done and I'm more or less remote, if that's what I'm being asked to do, that's what I do, right? You know, in some weeks that might take me 60 hours, some weeks it might take me 70, or some weeks it might take 30, right? My boss sets a very clear expectation of what he wants me to accomplish and is pleased when I get those things done, whether I'm sitting in an office or whether I'm sitting at home, and vice versa, of course.
Well, that is definitely a 20th century mindset where as the emphasis is on results, not on location. And so that idea of being able to, as long as you get the work done,
right?
Does it really matter right. where you are?
Right.
So
yeah, I'd say 21st century, Tom, right? Like this is really what the world.
Did I say 20th?
You did.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because when I probably started my career, and I don't know how far you went, but I started my career in luxury department store retailing. And that was very much in the office, on the floor with the customers, interacting with them, supervising your teams, making sure the product was out and so on and so forth. But even then with that sort of mindset, you know, I used to always say and still say to my people, you know, if you need to leave early, whether it's because you have a doctor's appointment or your kid's softball game or whatever it might be, I expect you to ask me as a courtesy, but I'm never going to really say no. You are an executive, a salaried exempt employee. You're going to do whatever it takes, I know, to get the job done. And if this week it means you're only going to work 30 hours and next week you're going to work 60 or whatever it might be, then that's absolutely fine. You know, and again, that was a little bit different. It wasn't about remote, but it was about people taking responsibility for what's expected of them in the role that they took, right? Nobody's holding a gun to our heads to keep these jobs or take these jobs. But if you do, it comes with certain responsibilities. And if you're living up to those, we should have that level of flexibility.
Yes, hiring adults. Yes, hiring adults and expecting them to follow through. So when you're hiring, from an HR perspective, discuss remote work in relation to diversity and inclusion. Does remote work, well, first of all, do you have 100% remote people or are most people hybrid?
No, we have a pretty good balance. For example, my role technically is 100% remote. I use, and certainly my boss encourages it, to visit our showrooms, to visit our corporate office. We do have quarterly meetings of our senior leadership team. So it gives me, you know, I think technically hybrid means you work X number of days at home and Y number of days in an office. For me, I call hybrid, I work remote, but I get out and I'm kind of boots on the ground and, you know, real grassroots marketing, grassroots management kind of stuff. And so we do have a little of both. We do have folks, though, who are 100% remote. That processing, our central processing team in particular, that's a very, very remote team. And they really are working on just what it sounds like, processing the orders that are delivered from the account managers, the ones who are making the sales, to get it all, you know, set up in the system so that all the order gets done correctly. And so there's a lot of that. I mentioned about our creative team. They're generally remote 100%, although there might be some times that we would have these kind of quarterly get-togethers, but we're really sensing that on the creative side, that there might be a great opportunity for some cross collaboration between teams, between totally remote teams, whether it's marketing and product. And the more we can see and touch a little bit, we think there's a benefit. We're not talking about pulling back and making those jobs on site or even hybrid, but more so about more regular face-to-face time, because when they do that, you can really see this the benefit that they get out of it, both work-wise, meaning results of work, and also just frankly that kind of team building and camaraderie. You know, my last role was 100% remote, and I just missed like going out for lunch together, or what are you watching on Netflix? And sure, you could do that over Zoom, and we would have the Zoom happy hours, but it was never the same as being able to kind of, you know, bond together or go grab a beer after work or whatever it might be. And I think when you talk about diversity, equity, and inclusivity, I think remote work has enabled us to be more inclusive. We aren't then tied to the small, albeit, you know, sometimes large geographically, but small footprint to recruit for a role that must work out of the corporate office in New York. And, you know, a lifelong New Yorker myself, you couldn't find a place with more diversity, but now imagine a job that could be sourced from anywhere across the country. That just gives us more opportunity to engage a more diverse workforce.
Good deal. So you've been working with remote, you've been working with hybrid, you've been looking at policies. In your experience with Stark Carpet, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in this transition to remote?
So I would say, particularly from, you know, my seat, right, when I look at things and we get into, you know, and I hate to start with this, but when you get into an issue where, let's just say a person's struggling, you know, my team will hear me talk about can't or won't a lot. And so as a person not performing at the level of expectation because they can't do it, meaning maybe they haven't gotten the training right, maybe they just haven't really absorbed the material. You know, we're talking about, we're a very systems-driven organization. Our product, the depth and breadth of our product is really extreme. So can they not perform because they really haven't been educated, or we haven't taught them in the way that they like to learn? Or is it a won't? I have the tools, I have the skill set, and I'm just choosing consciously or unconsciously to not be successful or not meet expectations. And I think I find that when we're getting into these coaching opportunities, that without sometimes seeing what the person's doing, that does present its own unique set of variables for getting the person to success. I'm not talking about, you know, offboarding someone or anything. It's like, I'm only getting to 80% of what my expectations are. How can we help you get to 90%? You know, so it's easier if I look down the hall or if I look in the next office and I see what and how you're spending your time. It's a lot easier to have someone sit next to you. You might have seen from my LinkedIn or my background that I am on the faculty at FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. It's one of the premier design and luxury retailing colleges in the country. And I've been working with that team for about 10 years, just as an adjunct professor. I teach just a handful, one or two courses a semester. And over time, I've learned that some students need to hear it. Some students need to see it. Some students you need to spend some extra time with and sit next to them in the classroom and show them. You know, I teach in the business school and I teach finance and retail math and things like that. And that becomes harder. And we were mid-semester when we went remote because of COVID, and the whole dynamic of teaching changed. And so I see that and feel it in my full-time professional career, where when I'm trying to teach someone something, that it is certainly more, you'll be more successful more easily when you can engage the person face-to-face. And we've put some things in place to enable some of that. So we started using an LMS, the learning management system. We've got more folks involved in training than we had before. We talk about the role of coaching a lot more than we used to. Well, let me not say that because again, I wasn't here before, but we just talk about different ways of coaching and different ways of being successful, but it certainly presents unique challenges.
So with those challenges, you mentioned training people, you know, finding the way that they learn best. And you're talking about training them on how to do the carpet side of their work. Do you have any training to help them with the remote side on how to be a good remote employee, or how to overcome, avoid the pitfalls of of remote. Have you gotten to that point yet?
Yeah. So we spent time more about managing a remote team and how do you, you know, really lead and be successful with your team. We've only really kind of touched, and I would say almost really scratching the surface on dealing with a person as a remote employee. And that's really an opportunity, frankly, because I think to some degree, meaning us as a company and my peers that I know from outside our organization, really kind of almost take for granted that people now have been doing it in many cases for 3 years or did it even in an on-site job when it was forced for 6 months, et cetera, and that we're supposed to all be good at it. And so I think particularly both from a skill set and then also from a culture standpoint, you know, how do you build culture when people are by themselves? How do you really do things that make people feel part of the team? And that's certainly something that continues to be something we're going to focus on.
Now, shifting from the challenges to the benefits, what would you say some of the biggest benefits are of remote and hybrid work?
So I think from a company standpoint, no secret, we don't need to have big offices that house as many people as would be necessary if we were all in on site for sure. You know, we are in business, like I talked about, a long time, almost 85 years. And we really want to be sure that we're operating as efficiently as possible. You know, one of my objectives is to be sure that we're using our payroll efficiently. And so, frankly, the same job that's based in a major metropolitan area versus somewhere more remote, no pun intended, is more often cost effective. The cost of living in places is certainly different than it might be in San Francisco or in Los Angeles. And so that certainly is the benefit. I talked about the real estate benefit and other things, right? We don't need to outfit the office. We really, everyone gets a laptop. We can be much more efficient with our work. We can be able to enable people to work where they are, not have to travel into the office, not have to do things that they would normally have had to. You know, people leave their house. If you live, let's say, in the outer boroughs of Manhattan, you could be 30 to 45 minutes in each way, whether it's in a car, et cetera. And so that enables us, frankly, to hire folks who don't want to put up with that, don't want to leave home or at least their hometown. And so it enables us, again, both a diverse workforce when we talked about DEI, but also a workforce that might be, you know, have different life experiences, be at different stages of their lives and be able to really capitalize. And frankly, from a recruiting standpoint, the better candidates, the more candidates you have, the more certainly it makes our lives easier and more likely to fill a role with an A-level candidate.
All right, Larry, I appreciate it. Parting thoughts, what advice would you have for fellow managers who are overseeing a remote team?
Yeah, I'd say a few things. One is just be open-minded. I think there's such an opportunity to have people that you might not have looked at before for certain roles and that, you know, certain things, you know, we have people on our team who are our labor, we call them our support, our showroom logistics reps, and they might be the ones doing the heavy lifting of the rugs and moving things and showing the samples as they're in stack of rugs. And so certainly some things can't be remote and that's just the way it goes. But there are certain roles that could be a variety of things. And I think, you know, we have a concept of trying to meet our client where they are, whether it's in our showrooms, whether it's on our website. And I think to some degree, that's the way to get your best candidates. And then from the side of the day-to-day running is be sure that you don't allow culture to only mean what happens within four walls. And culture means what everyone does and how they feel. You know, recognition. How do you recognize people in front of their peers? How do you recognize team members that are remote and hybrid and on-site and all of those things so that you try and create as universal an employee experience as possible so that your team is as happy if they're on-site every day or if they're sitting in their kitchen with their French bulldog like I do every day.
Great. Well, thank you, Larry. We appreciate you sharing your insight. And I've been speaking with Larry Kovit, Senior Vice President of Talent at Stark Carpet. You can check out their impressive carpet and rugs at their website at starkcarpet.com. Thank you for listening to WorkforceRemote.org, the podcast. This is Dr. Thomas Wilson saying, see you next time.